For those of you, I was going to say, who was not here for part one of visiting Radhakund and Shyamakund? Who was not here for that? Okay. Sorry to say, but too bad. What to do? Because we're halfway around Radhakund Shyamakund. Maybe you just join the parikrama through the midway. We ended up at Manasa Pavangat, which is a place where many of our acharyas, like five of our acharyas, have their bhajan kutirs. This is the place, Manasa Pavangat, and it's by the side of Shyamakund. And up at the top of the stairs is the bhajan kutir of Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur, Raghunath Das Goswami, Krishna Das Kaviraj Goswami, and very near is the bhajan kutir of Gopal Bhatta Goswami. And as you can see from the picture right here, this is the Arjun tree. Those of you that were with us last time will remember these places. And this is the pilo tree that Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur would have discussions with. At least he would have discussions with the soul who in his previous life was a brahmana in Benares, and he underwent austerities for a long, long, long time, the prayer that he would be able to take his birth by the side of Radhakund and Shyamakund and observe the eternal pastimes of the divine couple. So this is that place that we visited last, and it's particularly known as one of the places where the gopis would go to relieve themselves of their feelings of separation from Krishna by taking bath in Shyamakund. And so they would place their clothing at this Manasa Pavangat. They would take bath in Shyamakund. And many, many wonderful pastimes of Radha and Krishna would take place. This is one where we see Krishna's waiting just behind a tree as the gopis are all speaking about Krishna in anticipation of meeting Krishna. We described one pastime that took place at this very location at Manasa Pavangat, where there was I'm not going to go in detail, just for those of you that were here before, you can relish the memory of the detail. But according to the arrangements of Vrindadevi, on this particular day at Manasa Pavangat, Radha and Krishna were to meet. The parents of Vrindadevi had flown throughout all of Vraja to alert one another and set up the pastime so that Radha would be meeting Krishna. And as you see, the gopis are preparing Srimati Radharani, her hair decorated with flowers and painting the details on her ornamented feet as Radha is twirling a blue lotus in anticipation of Krishna's soon coming. And Krishna didn't come, and Krishna didn't come, and Krishna didn't come. And so finally, Radha sent one of her messengers, go find, where is Krishna? and her messenger found the messenger of Chandravali, who in a haughty, snobby mood said, "Oh, your Pransaki Radha is just going to have to wait because Krishna is now in a bower with Chandravali." And so the news came back to Radha, well, actually to Lalita and Vishakha, who were waiting expectantly for the messenger to come back. And when they heard where Krishna was instead of where he was supposed to be, they became so angry with Krishna. And when Krishna finally showed up, they gave it to him. As we say in ISKCON vernacular, they gave him the sauce. And Krishna pleaded with them. It was just circumstantial. It was just one of those things. And here I am, just tell Radha. Surely she'll want to see me. They told Krishna, "Get out of here. You're completely unreliable. We don't trust you for a moment. Radha doesn't even want to see your face. Leave it once." And even Krishna tried to encourage Radha, "Please give up your angry mood," but nothing would satisfy the anger of Radha, and so Krishna left. And after Krishna left, Radha, her mood changed, and she became very bewildered, saying to herself, "I know what kind of a person Krishna is. He's all attractive. He has beauty that could charm the hearts of millions of women. And he does. And that he has dalliances with so many other girls. I know that, but what can I do? My heart has been given to Krishna, and when I become angry like this and become tell Krishna to go away. That's not what my heart really wants. Why does this anger come over me like this? Now here I am, without Krishna's association. What am I to do?" And as she went deeper and deeper and deeper into this mood of separation from Krishna, all the gopis made every effort to pacify her. But nothing worked. Her mood was uncontrollably carrying Radha's mood of separation away from Krishna until she was completely beside herself, bewildered and lost in pangs of separation from Krishna. Meanwhile, Krishna also was feeling the same mood. What is the use of my life when she who has stolen my heart, Radharani, has rejected me? And feeling the pain seemingly like an ordinary boy and girl relationship, Krishna was devastated. By transcendental affection, out of love for Radharani. And so, just as this crescendo of separation mood reached its peak, Purnamasi came along and saw Krishna with his peacock feather on the ground and his flute by the side of the peacock feather and his lati, his little stick for controlling cows, by the side of his flute, and Krishna was just in such a state. She asked Krishna, "What happened?" And Krishna narrated the whole story. And she said, But Vrinda Devi said in the morning that you were to meet with Radha. How did all of this happen? Vrinda, you should come at once, wherever you are. Please, come at once and arrange so that Krishna doesn't give up his life and Radha doesn't give up her life. So Vrinda came and made some indication that Krishna should give up his cowherd boy attire and accept the attire of a mendicant and go with his palms outstretched, as you see, and beg from Radha for her mercy. And you go in this begging mood, and surely Radha will be pleased. And without even going anywhere, Krishna immediately manifested this, just like Krishna manifested his two-armed form from a four-armed form in the prison house of Kamsa. Krishna also, just by his will, manifested this form like a worshipper of Shiva and came to the very same place where the very same gopis had rejected and told him to go away. Now by his yogamaya potency, they didn't even recognize it was the same Krishna. And when the gopis came to receive the mendicant, they came bearing offerings for the mendicant. And they then asked the mendicant if he was able to tell the future, because they were concerned that their dearmost Radha might give up her life. Is she going to live or is she going to die? So the mendicant sannyasi said, of course I can tell the future. And so they said, can you read palms? If we brought Radha, could you look at her palms and see if she's going to live or die? And the mendicant said, don't suggest such a thing. I wouldn't look at the palms of a woman. I'm a strict sannyasi. Why would you suggest such a thing? And they said, well, how else are you going to tell if she's going to live or die? What signs do you need to look at? He said, I know the art of reading the signs on someone's forehead. And then they said, you're going to look at the signs on her forehead, why you can't look at her palms? Don't question me like that. You bring Radha here, or I'm going to leave at once. So they brought Srimati Radharani. They said, but she won't remove the cloth covering her face. She will only look at Krishna. They said, very well, then I can't help you. So Radha picked up her veil, showed her face to the mendicant sannyasi, and he at once manifested his form as Krishna. And Radha could understand his trick. She was very happy, and they sat together. And as planned, the meeting of Radha and Krishna, as was planned by Vrinda Devi from the very beginning of the day, took place. Our acharyas describe that the pastimes of love don't move in a straight line, like if you do geometry. You study geometry yet? Not yet. If you go from point A to point B, it's called a straight line. So, in love, in transcendental love, to go from point A to point B, it's like the movement of a snake. You've seen the movement of a snake before? You've seen how a snake moves? It goes, he's still going from point A to point B. But he doesn't go in a straight line. You've seen? Like that. So the meeting of Radha and Krishna, as was planned by Vrinda Devi, looked at one point like it was devastation. Radha was smashed and Krishna was smashed. Nothing was working right. But it was working perfectly right. Because it was intensifying their feelings of separation from one another, so that when their meeting took place, it would be even more exalted, and more transcendental happiness would be relished by the divine couple. So our acharyas have described that this is one of the pastimes that took place at Manasapavan Ghat by the side of Shyamakund. And this is Shyamakund. On the other side is Radhakund. And this is the Sangrama, the barrier wall between the Radhakund and Shyamakund. We're going to come back and visit this place by the end of the evening. So now continuing, going back up the stairs of Manasapavan Ghat, and just to the turning to the right of it, there's a place called the Chaitanya Gadadhar Temple, and this is a place where Gangamata Goswamini resided. Did I describe this place last time I was here? No. Okay. Well, see this little sign down here? This is a sign that describes when Gangamata Goswamini lived here in Vrindavan. She also had conversations with this bush, who was also formerly a brahmana. The sign describes formerly a brahmana who underwent austerities so that he could take birth near Radhakund and Shyamakund. So when we go walking here and there, we see a cow, or we see a tree, or we see a monkey, or we see a bird, we see a bush. We're not seeing with spiritual vision. But very, very qualified personalities like Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur or like Gangamata Goswamini, they have spiritual vision. I'll give a little description of... Well, first let's take darshan of her deities. There's a reason why her deity is called Chaitanya Gadadhar. She was initiated by a grand disciple of Gadadhar Pandit. When Gadadhar Pandit was present with Chaitanya Mahaprabhu in Navadvip, they were classmates and very, very close friends. And when Chaitanya Mahaprabhu accepted sannyas and went to Puri, Gadadhar practically went mad in separation from Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. So he also accepted sannyas and went to Puri. And while in Puri, he worshipped the deity of Gopinath. And he took a vow of kshetra sannyas that he would stay and never leave that place of Jagannath Puri. And every day he recited Srimad Bhagavatam so wonderfully that even Chaitanya Mahaprabhu would go to hear him reciting Srimad Bhagavatam. And through the passage of generations, one of the disciples of Gadadhar Pandit and one of his disciples became also a pujari and a reciter of Srimad Bhagavatam at Radhakund and made his residence here at Radhakund and in Vrindavan. So Gangamata that was her initiated name. And before she was initiated, her name was Sita. Actually, she was given that like as a title. She was the daughter of a king in Orissa. Not in one of the states of Orissa, in the northern part of Orissa. And the king had no sons. She was the only offspring of the king and queen. And so their arrangement normally would have been the firstborn son would become king, but minus one son, then she would become married and would become the queen. except when it came time for her marriage, she told her father, "I'll only marry Krishna. I'll only marry one who is unborn. And that's only one person, Krishna. You can make that arrangement, I'll happily marry Krishna." And her father thought, "It's just a young girl. She'll get older, she'll want to get married." But she was fixed in that disposition. She was very, very spiritually elevated from childhood and throughout her growing up. So she wanted none but Krishna as her husband. And so, at the time of the demise of her father and mother, there was nothing that could be done. She was crowned a queen without a king. And she accepted that Krishna was her king. And she was ruling, serving her husband, Krishna. And after some time, on the pretext of touring her country, her kingdom, to see how everything was faring, internally she wanted to find a spiritual master, so she went to Jagannath Puri. And when she went to Jagannath Puri, she met many of Lord Chaitanya's associates who, two generations later, they were now practicing still the teachings that Lord Chaitanya had given. And she came to hear of Vrindavan and the wonderful sages and sadhus that are followers of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu living in Vrindavan. So she went to Vrindavan. And when she was residing in Vrindavan for some time, she met one great elevated Vaishnava who was a grand disciple of Gadadhar Pandit. And hearing him speak Srimad Bhagavatam every day, she became so inspired and requested that he accept her as a disciple. And he said, "No, you're a princess, you're a queen, you're of royal family, you're used to opulence and strength and power, and how you can become my disciple, live here in Vrindavan, how is it possible?" No. She took it that he was testing her determination. So gradually she gave up all of her royal cloth and opulent ornaments and all of the signs of royalty. And she lived by the side of the Jamuna, and just like a mendicant, she did madhukari to maintain herself every day. Took her bath in the Jamuna 3 times a day and heard the discourses from her spiritual master. And she did this for a whole year, through the cold of the winter and the heat of the summer, and simply became absorbed in deep moods of devotion to Krishna. But finally, her spiritual master accepted her as a disciple and gave her the assignment to stay here by the side of Radhakund with one of his other female disciples who was accustomed to chanting 2 lakhs of rounds every day. Some of us initiated devotees were accustomed to chanting 16 rounds a day. That's 1/4 of a lakh. 1 lakh is 64 rounds, and 2 lakhs is 2 times 64 rounds. So, Sita, whatever her initiated name was, biography doesn't describe, but she was chanting 2 times 64 rounds every day, living here by the side of Radha Kund, and learning all about the process of deity worship, learning the details of the teachings of Lord Chaitanya from all the followers of Lord Chaitanya that were assembled here. And after some time, she was then given some service to go to Jagannath Puri because her spiritual master heard that the deity of Sarvabhuma Bhattacharya had no pujari to worship. The lineage from Sarvabhuma Bhattacharya had expired. There was no son to take care of the deity, or sons of the brahmanas to take care of the deity. There was no one taking care of his Damodar Shila and his deity of Radha Krishna deity of some name, I'm not sure of the name. For those of you that are particularly from South India and even may know something about practices in Puri, the idea of a woman becoming a worshipper of Shalagram Shila would not be accepted in Jagannath Puri. Very strict in smarta practices. But she was given this order by her spiritual master and go there and worship the deity of Sarvabhauma Bhattacharya and don't leave. So she was very happy to have some service assigned directly like that by her spiritual master. So she went. And because of her very, very elevated spiritual position, everybody accepted. So she began worshipping the deity, and in the mornings, after completing her worship, she would conduct Srimad Bhagavatam class. And she spoke Srimad Bhagavatam so beautifully, having heard from the residents of Vrindavan and her spiritual master, the descendants of Gadadhar Pandit, that very soon she had large number of people coming to hear her Srimad Bhagavatam class every morning. Many, many, many. So many that news spread and the king heard. So the king wanted to find out who is this person, so he disguised himself so he would not be known and went and sat and listened like a common person in the audience. And he was amazed at how wonderfully she spoke, eloquently and purely and compellingly. So he felt in his heart, one day I should do something to help her. That resolve was there. Some time passed, and there's a particular day in our Vaishnava calendar when it's very, very auspicious to take bath in the Ganga. It's always auspicious to take bath in the Ganga. But there's a particular Vaishnava holiday. And in the residents of Orissa like to go to take pilgrimage to the Ganga. That was one of Mother Sachi's ideas. That her son, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, were to reside in Puri. When the devotees from Orissa come to take bath in the Ganga, then she could get word of her son, and sometimes the devotees from Navadvip, they go to Puri for Rath Yatra, so then she could get news of her son when they returned. So many devotees had gone to the Ganga, and Sita, later to become Ganga Mata, she wanted very much to go, but she couldn't go because she was given this instruction to stay and worship the deity. So those that don't go from Puri, they have a festival on that particular holiday. And the festival is going on in the evening and late into the evening, almost at midnight, when most of the people had already, the streets were cleared. She went to a place very near to Sarvabhauma Bhattacharya's temple called Sweta Ganga, or White Ganga. It's a very nice, beautiful ghat. She took her bath in the ghat late at night when there was practically nobody around. But as she got into the water to take her bath, the water started to swell and swell and swell. And if you've been to that place, you know that's like it's very, very deep down. And just flooded over and flooded over the side of the ghat and carried her literally all the way to the Jagannath temple and inside the temple. And then the waves subsided. And there she found herself inside Jagannath temple. So she began singing for Lord Jagannath. And as she was singing for Lord Jagannath, the guards thought that it was a thief. And how did the thief get inside? Because they have the key. They locked from the outside, so somebody must have picked the lock and gotten inside out. Otherwise, how could they get in? And they went and arrested her. Put her in jail. And that night, the king had a dream where Lord Jagannath let him have it. chastised him severely. This is my devotee. I brought her here before me so that I could enjoy her company singing devotional songs. She's such an elevated devotee. Your guards have put her in jail. You have made a big offense. You should go to the jail first thing in the morning and release her, and you should fall at her feet and beg for her forgiveness, and you should take initiation from her. And the king woke up startled. So first thing in the morning, just as Jagannath had instructed, he did. And pleaded with her for forgiveness. And she just laughed and said, "What a sense of humor that Jagannath has. He brought me into his temple room to sing for him, had me put in jail for singing for him, and now has arranged for the king to become my disciple." Jagannath has such a wonderful sense of humor. And so she, on an auspicious day, she initiated the king. And following that, many other elevated brahmanas came, because her reputation spread. The king has become this woman's disciple. And many others came forward and hearing her and experiencing her purity and elevated Krishna consciousness, they too became disciples of Gangamata Goswamini, one of the women in our disciplic succession, who accepted many persons as initiated disciples. So sometimes people ask, in your Hare Krishna religion, can women be initiating spiritual masters too? And the answer is yes. Those that are very, very qualified, we heard earlier, Janava. We're going to see again the place where Janava sat and did her chanting by the side of Radhakund. She had many disciples and others. The daughter of Srinivasachari, Hemalata, was a woman who had initiated disciples in our Gaudiya line. So this is the place where Gangamata Goswamini did her bhajan. And very, I don't know if I put it with the sound. There are Vaishnavas who sit and perform bhajan throughout the day in honor of the deity worship that she personally performed here and her own bhajan. Here's the temple. Or at the altar. Chaitanya Gadadhar, like Bhaktivinoda Thakur, he installed Gaur Gadadhar deities. Here is Chaitanya Gadadhar, naturally because her Ishtadev was Lord Chaitanya, and her spiritual master was initiated second generation follower of, or disciple of, Gadadhar Pandit. Chaitanya Gadadhar Temple at Shambhapur, a very nice Govardhan Shilas on the altar. So, this is where we were. This is where Manasa Pavangad is. We just were right here at the temple of Gangamata Goswamini, and now we're going back out to the, this is the Parikrama Marg, and just past the Parikrama Marg, we're going to visit the Bhajan Kutir of Bhaktivinoda Thakur. And as we go along this part of the Parikrama path, here and then further down, there's a lot of these merchants that are selling Tulsi beads. So if you're visiting Radhakund and Shyamakund and you want some nice Tulsi beads for yourself or your friends, there is plenty of them here at Radhakund. Bhaktivinoda Thakur worshipped Krishna and performed his bhajan here by the side of Shyamakund, and along with Bhaktivinoda Thakur, also his son, Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur, would sometimes come and join him. On the other side of Radhakund is a place where Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur also had Bhajan Kutir. And the Pushpa Samadhis of Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur and Bhaktivinoda Thakur are here at that Bhajan Kutir. And some of the very furniture that Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur used is found here. Those who have been to Godrum Dweep in Mayapur, if you haven't been, come join us. We're going this Kartik month. Very similar furniture. It appears that Bhaktisiddhanta liked this kind of furniture with very long arms for some reason. Maybe he could put books on those long arms and read them as he wanted. And the table where he would sit and do his writing, a little cot where he would lie and rest at night, and his walking stick and wooden shoes. From these two places where Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur stayed when residing at Radhakund and Shyamakund, this is from that time when Srila Prabhupada received instructions from Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur. If you ever get money print books, just walk around Radhakund, very famous. So, for devotees in ISKCON, these places have very special significance. But just from here, from the Bhaktivinoda Thakur Bhajan Kutir, around the corner, again we're on the Parikrama path, is a Jagannath Mandir. Very nice temple. And then just past that, we're going to visit the a temple, or rather Bhajan Kutir of Jiva Goswami. And again, while working our way to that Bhajan Kutir of Jiva Goswami, here's some more of the vendors selling many, many, many different styles of Tulsi Mala. Here's the, just inside the gate, is there are a number of samadhis of sadhus that resided here for a long time. This is the Kirtan Hall. And right here is where the Bhajan Kutir with Jiva Goswami would sit. We'll see a close-up picture. And down here is where the altar is. So here's the altar where Radha Damodar were worshipped by him, and the sitting place where he would do his chanting. Now this isn't the original Radha Damodar deity that's presently now in Jaipur. We saw those deities previously, because Jiva Goswami apparently spent a fair amount of time and had more than one place where he would reside. So we're not going to duplicate that whole description of Jiva Goswami and his deities. But just across the street and down a slight distance is the Lalita Kund. Here is Bhaktivinoda Thakur writing. Just nearby my kutir is Lalita Kund, surrounded by hundreds of bejeweled altars. At that place, Sri Radha Krishna can be seen, continuously sporting as they expand their pastimes. Now, any time that I've been here, I've not seen any hundreds of bejeweled altars. I've seen turtles swimming in the lake, sometimes some algae growing on top, sometimes some birds, fish. But I've never seen hundreds of bejeweled altars. But this is one of the themes of this presentation, is qualified persons with full spiritual vision may actually see these pastimes taking place and describe them in their transcendental writings. At Lalita Kund, it was one of the favorite places. Here's one of the bejeweled thrones where Radha and Krishna would play water sports and splash one another in various games that they would play. This is one of the very, very old painting on the top of the sculpture or the architecture itself, where this pastime is depicted. In fact, many of our acharyas have described like this. This Lalita Kunda has this very special spirit of water sports of Radha and Krishna. We see on the side the gopis are attending, waiting for with dry garments and eatables and flower garlands and a nice place where Radha and Krishna can sit after their water sports and ease their fatigue. This is a very recent painting, also depicting one pastime described by Rupa Goswami, in which Radha was thinking, and Krishna could understand Radha's thoughts, how nice it would be if not only I can swing with Radha, but Lalita can also swing with Radha. So understanding the desire of Srimati Radharani, Krishna arranged for a very large swing and placed Lalita by his side and Radha on the other side, and they had their swing pastimes. This directly comes from one of the writings of Rupa Goswami, and just downstairs in the temple, in the living room, there's a nice painting of Rasalila, painted by the same artist, Riti, one of the best artists in Srila Prabhupada's group of artists. So this painting is just like literally a month old, painted by Priti, depicting this pastime. And here's another rendering of Lalita Kund, and Lalita, just as we see her often by the side of the of Radha and Krishna, of Lalita and Vishakha on either side. Her only desire is to serve Radha in the manner of Radha's pleasing Krishna. She's fixed in this mood. And Lalita Kund, similarly, is just a place for enhancing the pastimes of Radha and Krishna. So by the side of Lalita Kund is a temple of Lalita Bihari. There they are. Normally we see Radha by the side of Krishna. And this temple is particularly appreciating how exalted is the love of Lalita for Radha, that sometimes Lalita is by the side of Krishna. This is a painting depicting the unmanifest to our eyes, but the places where the eight sakis surrounding Radha Kund and the eight sakas surrounding Shama Kund, they have their kunjas or their groves where they're ready to serve the divine couple, Radha Shama Sundar, in their transcendental pastimes. So